5 o'clock, spot on this beautiful, mashallah, Thursday morning, Yomul Khamis, on our program, As-Safinatu Ila Al-Jannah. Well, it's the 15th of Safar, 1443. My beloved Fadilatul Ustad, he's not sitting right in front of me, but of course, he is with us live this morning, and he is in Kroonstad. I wonder where he is. Somebody said, Molana, what's the difference between Free State and Orange Free State? So I think my Ustad is in Free State, that's in Kroonstad. Well, anyway, let's welcome him into the program this morning, Ustad. It's a beautiful Thursday morning. I don't know how the weather there. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 15th of this month of Safar. We are at the halfway mark, 1443. And we continue with the tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran. Our starting point is chapter 16, Surah Nahl, the B, verse number 126. As we explained to you many a time, several times in the past, certain verses were revealed because of a certain incident, and here also an incident took place, and thereafter these verses were revealed. This is the third last verse of chapter 16, Surah Nahl. So to understand things properly in their context, the Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beloved Sahaba, the beloved companions, migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawwara. And second year after the migration, after the Hijrah, during the month of Ramadan, our fasting month, it was a Friday, and it was the 17th of Ramadan that the battle erupted in Badr, and the Muslims were only 313, and the enemy Abu Jahl and them were almost 1,000. And lo and behold, against all expectations, the Muslims were granted a magnificent, spectacular victory with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So 70 of the kuffar, the non-Muslims, were dispatched straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. 70 were taken as captive. So this was in the second year of the Hijrah. Now we come to the third year after the Hijrah, the migration to Medina Munawwara. Just outside Medina Munawwara, a place called Uhud, Jabal-e-Uhud, the mountain of Uhud. So there another battle erupted, and the enemy came and remembered that they were also well equipped and so forth, and they wanted revenge for what happened the previous year. This was in the third year of the Hijrah, the third year of the migration, and the month was Shawwal, just 12, 13 months after the Battle of Badr. And lo and behold, the Muslims were winning, and then remember, they came down thinking the battle from the mountain, that the battle is over, and started collecting the booty and the spoils of war. Khalid bin Walid, who was not yet a Muslim at that time, he came from behind. He was the master strategist, and then the victory turned into defeat, and 70 Muslims lost their lives and became martyrs and shuhada. And amongst them was the chacha, the paternal uncle, Ammun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala an. And the Muslims were very, very sad at what happened. And he, Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu an, is Sayyidu Shuhada, the greatest of martyrs for all time, all places. And the authentic hadith is mentioned in Mustadrak Hakim. Now these kuffar, the non-Muslims, they defeated the Muslims in this sense that 70 of our people were martyred, but they went to Hamza radiallahu anh and they mutilated his body, his ears and his nose and his belly, and so many parts of his body were cut open, mutilated. When the master, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saw that, he was very, very sad and said that the next battle we will then get a hold of them and we will then kill 70 of them. 70 in Arabic means many people. Like in English we say that 100, we say, I told you 100 times. It doesn't mean 100 per se. It means several times, many times. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala revealed this verse on that occasion, that Islam is a religion of justice, at peace, at war, at all times, all places, all circumstances. So Almighty Allah addressing the Master, Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Muslims as well, wa in aqabtum, and remember that if the enemy, they punish you, then fa aqibu bi misli ma uqibtum bi, then you also retaliate and punish them similar to how they punish you. But you don't go beyond the limits. You cannot mutilate them. You cannot kill their women, their children who are civilians and not participants. You cannot go and kill for 170 and so forth and so on. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rahmatul alameen, the mercy to the entire universe and creation, as enshrined in chapter 21 verse 107, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. When the conquest of Mecca took place during the 8th year of the Hijrah, in the month of Ramadan, all these people were there, and yet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam granted them asylum, amnesty, and forgave them. So that shows the magnanimity of Islam, Muslims, and the Master, رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, who was the exclusive mercy to the entire universe and creation from the creation. So nevertheless, this took place, wherein aqabatum fa aqibu bi misli ma uqibtum bi. وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ, and if you exercise patience and restraint, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِصَابِرِينَ, لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِصَابِرِينَ, that is for the best for those who exercise patience and restraint. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, yesterday Mona Zahid Khan and myself arrived here in Kronstadt before Maghrib, and we met the Imam Sahib Mona Ashraf Mangera. MashaAllah, Maulana is rendering sterling service here, 21 years in Kronstadt. And Maulana's father, Maulana Salim Mangera, passed away about four months ago. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. The Muazzin, MashaAllah, Sheikh Hassan, is here for 25 years. From the time it was a church and now transformed into a masjid. So he is also rendering yeoman service to the community here. And the trustees, MashaAllah, our brother Hussein Bayat, in whose house we are staying, his wife passed away also a few months ago. Allah grant her Jannatul Firdaus. And his father passed away a few years ago, and mashallah, he used to take me around here in Kronstadt. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. And brother Hussein's mother, mashallah, she's here. Allah Jalla Wala grant her siha, afia, good health. The other trustee, mashallah, is brother Fayyaz Sidat. Allah Jalla Wala reward them for all their sterling services. So last night, mashallah, after Isha, we had the program just after 8 we started, and then we continued for 1.5 hours. 1 hour we spoke and half an hour was the Q&A. So Kronstadt, Maulana, means the place, the city, the town with crowns on it. It's Afrikaans word. Under apartheid, we used to call this area Orange Free State. But now in the new South Africa and the Democratic South Africa, they call it Free State. And in those days, only the Afrikaners could stay Sharia, basically, and the whites and so forth. So they should call it Freistaat, so in Afrikaans and that. So that is for you. So the province is called Free State, and the place is, remember, that Kroonstad. And today, inshallah, we will have our program there by Maulana Arafat, by Sheikh Arafat. He's the Imam there in Senegal. Senegal, mashallah, we've been there before also. Another place where, subhanallah, if you see wonderful brick building, it was a monument, but Allah wants to do things. Subhanallah, it was a church, and today it's a masjid. So all this with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah.
Ameen.
And mashallah, Allah reward all the brothers, sisters, children here in Kroonstad. They're making our stay very, very comfortable. Allah Jalla Allah reward them.
Ameen, ameen, ameen. Thumma ameen. And Allah Ta'ala reward Haji Hussein Bayat for making our beloved senior Ustad's khidmat in Haji Maulana Zahid. Ustad, is a listener says, anonymous, dear Mufti Saab, should we not be assisting the Taliban with humanitarian aid? It's the least we can do to repay them for bringing dignity to the Muslims. Let us step up. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Before I respond to that question, I just received a message that our brother Yusuf Ali, who does the breakfast program, is not too well and is but sick. So Allah Ta'ala grant him and all those who are ill, Allah grant them all Shifa'i Kamil, and all those who passed away with Iman and Islam, Allah Jalla Allah grant them Jannatul Firdaus. 100% we concur with you, brother, sister. That's the minimum we should do. And what we should do is that they help the Taliban, because what great honor they brought to the Muslims. I spoke about the events, the important events that took place during this month of Safar, and then last night here in the Kroonstad Masjid, Masjid Bilal, and then we opened the floor. Then somebody asked regarding Taliban, and I gave them the history of it. Obviously, majority of them were very amazed at what really happening there and so forth. So yes, it is akhlaqi farz, our moral obligation, that we should be making dua for them. We make dua and supplicate to Almighty Allah, Allah Jalla wa Ala, grant them victory more and more. You see, in the United Nations, thus far, officially, no country has really, and especially the Western forces, after getting a whooping and thrashing, and one of the biggest humiliations for America, Trump said, is the worst defeat in the history of America. So therefore, they will look for every excuse and so forth. So yeah, in South Africa, contact Darulum Zakaria, Hazrat Mohana Shabir Saluji, Hafidahullah, and so forth. And mashallah, that there are some structures in place where you can contact them, and inshallah, that some money and some resources, material help, can be given to our brothers, sisters, children in Afghanistan. And remember that from the United Nations and the countries, $1 billion was pledged. To pledge is something else, and the reality to give that amount is something else.
Let's go to Brother Riyad Ustad from Maritzburg. He says that, can I claim from the road accident fund? Would this money be halal for me, Ustad?
So you must remember, Brother Riyaz, if a person really passed away in an accident and so forth, so then he passed away with Iman and Islam. He's a shaheed and a martyr. So Mustafa Rahmatul Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Sahibul Jambi Shaheed, a person who, or Sahibul Hadmi Jam Shaheed, a person who passes away, remember in accidents and so forth, they are shuhada and martyrs, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So we are paying for it. Nobody is doing us a favor. So when you claim, and from the road accident fund for your brother, sister, wife, whoever, parents who passed away, so in our petrol, in our taxation, so to claim from there, totally permissible Islamically, and it will be halal for you and the family and the heirs of that family.
There's a listener says here, Ustad. Well,
hello.
Can you hear me, Ustad?
Repeat the question, Maulana.
Gee, anonymous brother says, Ustad, that my boss paid me extra in February for the 1 month only when he went on leave. I brought it to his notice, sir. He didn't say anything. Now, 6 months later, everybody gets increase except me. He says he paid me extra in February. How do I clarify this with him? Anonymous Muslim brother, Ustad.
We don't know, remember that what is, you must remember your contract and your agreement with your boss and so forth. If there was no, you must remember, agreement regarding increase and so forth, then you can't demand that. But if that was part of your contract, then obviously you can ask him for that and so forth and so on. Because remember, this will be all according to your contract. Quran Kareem states, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu awfu bil uqood. Surah 5, verse number 1, that, O Allah, the Allah Ta'ala states, O you who believe, fulfill your contracts. So we have to go back to your agreement with your employer, with your boss, and then you can solve the problem.
Walter says, Ustad, that, sir, the hunger virus kills about 8,000 children a day, and the vaccine for it exists. It's called food. But you won't hear about it in the media because hunger doesn't kill the rich. It's time to reevaluate our priorities. Walter Ustad.
100%, you must remember, therefore, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Kad al-faqru an yakuna kufra, that poverty is such that, remember, it will lead some people to disbelief and blasphemy and so forth and so on. So therefore, we must ask Allah Jalla Wala for protection. And when you open Sunan Nasai, you will find that there are 65 chapters and sub-chapters regarding isti'adha, regarding protection. One is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-faqri wal-qillati wa-zilla. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from poverty and qilla, that we have so little few resources, wa-zilla and disgrace. So like that, so many ahadith you will find regarding protection. As far as the secular world goes, the capitalistic world goes, you must remember, you can never expect much from them. Secularism means to develop, advocate, propagate a godless society. They will speak about human rights, but they will never speak about divine rights, because for them, a person must live in this world, and it must be nothing to do with religion and God and Almighty Allah. So religion is a private matter for them, which we reject totally and absolutely. We say religion must be the number one priority in a person's life. Capitalism, their aim is just to make more and more money, monopoly and cartels who can hold the people at ransom and so forth. And therefore, the necessary result and consequences of capitalism will be the rich will get richer and the poor will get poorer. And therefore, you can see people in Australia, people in France, people in the Western world revolting, rebelling against these systems. And it's part of their plan to keep Africa and sub-Saharan Africa as paupers. And so that's a definite plan of theirs. So you must remember, because so they can come and occupy. You see, Mali, France are there. Why? Because they can steal more and more. They occupied Algeria for over 150 years, but today they want to come speak of human rights and democracy. So that is their aim and objective. We must remember, the whites, majority of them in the Western world, other parts of the world, they don't want that people who are non-whites must come up and so forth and so on. So the white supremacists, and they will speak with a glib tongue, layyam bi al-sidatihim, with a fork tongue. And you can see what is happening in today's world.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ya Ustad, listen to this question. My name is Elliot, Mr. AK. There was a group of men wearing white dresses and walking in a row, going house to house, preaching about God. I offered them food and they refused. Is this the new way of begging? Is God not everywhere? Elliot, Ustad.
My brother Elliot, thank you for your question. We need to put everything in its context, my brother. They were not going begging and so forth. They were going house to house to invite the brothers that come to the mosque, come to the masjid, and there will be a program there and so forth. What has happened today to the Muslims, that many a time they have even forgotten that we must come to the mosque, especially the men, because you know the lockdown and man because of virus and this fear and that fear and so forth. Now I'm leaving for the mosque here in Kroonstad from our brother Hussein Bayat's place. So, but people, many of them, they still have that fear. So mashallah, that our brothers, they go not to beg, but to invite the people to come to the masjid, to the mosque, and participate in the programs and so forth. So just remove that notion that they went there begging. Secondly, that you saw them, so out of your kindness, generosity, you told them that, you know what, they come, I'll offer you something and so on. So what they should have done is, they should have told you that fine, that give us some water or something, so you will not feel offended and so forth. So because they were on a mission also. So that is what they should have done. But anyway, my brother Elliot, Islam will never teach us to beg humanity and creation. We beg only from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, Wallahul Ghani wa Antumul Fuqara. Almighty Allah is totally self-sufficient and you are paupers and beggars. So therefore, we should put everything in the right context.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says here that, dear Mufti Saab, I am an insurance broker. Is my income halal, Ustad? Anonymous.
Remember that when a person's in trade and his income has to do with interest and so forth, so then the income will definitely not be halal, would not be permissible Islamically. You study insurance. I just give you one, two examples. Obviously, just examples. We don't have all these things. Just take myself. I paid you premiums, you must remember, for 5 years, and I paid you 100,000. So now the person dies, and then he claims 1 million. So the question we'll ask, from where did the other 900,000 come? So remember, it was interest and gambling. So because of these factors of interest and gambling, which is condemned in the Noble Quran regarding interest, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala condemns it in the strongest terms. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 275 to 279. So remember that Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, that, so you must remember, condemns it in 275 to 279. And that is, I just read one verse from there. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you don't abstain and refrain from this interest, giving, taking, and so forth, be prepared for a war against Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Regarding gambling, Surah 5, verses 19-91, Almighty Allah condemns it in strong language and says, رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is impure. It's the handiwork of the Satan and Lucifer and Shaitan. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. You must abstain from it. Then only will you be successful. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Therefore, in Islam, to work in the bank, to work in an insurance company, all that unacceptable, the income tainted, polluted because of interest and gambling.
There's a sister from Cape Town, Ustad. She says, dear Mufti Saab, in our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, women used to go to the graveyard. Why can't we women go now? Who changed the rules, Ustad?
Remember that we must not just do conjecture and speculation from our own side and so forth. Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. I prevented you, the men and the women, from going to the graveyard initially because the people were mushrikeen and they were polytheists. They would worship anybody, anything. Thereafter, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogated it, cancelled it, and said, Allah fazuruha, go and visit it. So go visit the graves and the graveyard and cemetery and so forth. So majority scholars say that this is for the men only and not for the women. And why not for the women? There are three incidents I give you, all from Sunan Nasa'i. And in the Hadith Kitab, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَائِرَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the ladies who visit the graveyard. First Hadith in Sunan Nasa'i. Second one, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. Allah Ta'ala, this is Sahih Hadith, authentic. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet peace be upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ زَوَّارَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. Allah curses the women who visit the graveyard excessively. Third one, this hadith is mentioned in Sunan Nasai as well. One day, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going, and in the opposite direction, he saw his beloved daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. He asked her, "Oh Fatima, my beloved daughter, where you went to?" She said, "Someone passed away. She went for ta'aziyah to offer condolences, sympathize with the bereaved family." Then the master, Rahmatullil Alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was, who is, who will always be the mercy to the entire universe and creation, asked Sayyida Fatima, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi, Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, she is the leader of the women in Jannah. So then Nabi alayhi salam told her, we say Aliyazu Billah, that Allah mahfazna, that Allah protect us, that if you went to the graveyard, oh my daughter Fatima, you'll end up in Jahannam and the hellfire. I'm giving you the reference, you go check it up. So therefore, for us to come and speculate, for women to go graveyard and all that, remember, we must not come with our own ideas in Sharia. Our deen is wahi and revelation. We believe in what is said in the Quran Sharif, the direct words of Almighty Allah, and in the Sunnah Mubarakah and Ahadith Mubarakah, the direct speech and teaching of the Master, Prophet Muhammad Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ustad, Sister Melanie, she wants to know that the President of Turkey, the President Erdogan, she says that he's a very, very good person, but how come he's not a Muslim? Sister Melanie, Ustad.
From where you came, that he's not a Muslim, my sister. He is a true Muslim. Recep Tayyip Erdogan is his name. And the United Nations, he said that what are you, the world and the Western community doing for Syria? Syria, that the regime there, the regime in Syria, they are not Muslims and they are murdering the other Muslims. So you must remember, and 3 million, 4 million refugees are there in Turkey. So the question I beg that, why must Turkey alone take the responsibility and burden of 4 million plus foreigners, you must remember, of the refugees? And they are a part of NATO. Half of Istanbul is in Europe, half in Asia. So what are the Western countries doing? I told you just now, you must remember, under South Africa, that before 94 we had apartheid, and it was in the statute, it was the law. So in the Western countries, Europe, America, they have apartheid. You must remember, but it's not law. So therefore, they say, we don't want these non-whites here, we don't want these Arabs here, America, we don't want the Haitians here. You can see all this happening now in front of your eyes. So that was a very, very great question he asked the United Nations, that all of you talk, where's the action? See what we are doing. We took in 3-4 million people, and all from Syria, refugees, because of Bashar Assad. And remember, he's done for dictatorship and so forth. And he is not a Muslim, Bashar Assad of Syria. And the Turkish president is a Muslim, my sister Melanie. Maybe you got your wires but crossed up there.
Ustad, Brother Elliot wants to know that why do you go to the graveyard and pray for the dead? Why? There's nothing will bring them back. Brother Elliot, Ustad.
My brother Elliot, even we say nothing will bring them back, but we go there. Why we go there? فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, it reminds you of the year after. Elliot, I don't know you, right? And you don't know me. We haven't met. But nevertheless, so you got 1 million rand in your account, right? So I got 100 properties and all that. I don't have. I'm just giving an example. And I drive this car, that car, all that. Example I'm giving. So this human being, when we are in this world, so remember that what we do, that we get deceived by the material wealth and we get deceived by the glitter glamour of this world. So when we go to the graveyard, we start remembering. this person was a king, this person was a multi-millionaire, this person was a multi-billionaire, and where are they today? My brother Elliot, when you were born 45, 50 years ago, you came without anything. And today you made your millions. But when you die, you will leave without anything. I came without anything. And then Almighty Allah blessed me, gave me this, for which we cannot thank Almighty Allah enough. When I die, I will go without anything. So that is the lesson. So on the grave it was written, I know you won't understand this, I'll translate it. So it was written on the grave there. You know, the people sometimes put a board. And it was written, May samja me aham hu, lekin ye wo ham tha. I used to think I'm very important, but now we realize I'm a non-entity. So that is why we go there, so that we get our priorities correct, and we know that one day death will come, and we will leave without anything but just our faith and our actions.
Ustad, one more question. There's a brother from Chatsworth. He says, my parents are non-Muslims. My father's surname is Pretorius. I am a revert and my name is Muhammad. I hate the surname because it clearly makes me stand out as a non-Muslim. Can I change my surname too, Ustad?
My brother Muhammad, you made the right decision in life, that by embracing Islam, and remember that you should go to the Quran Sharif, the Noble Quran, read chapter number 8, verse 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيَنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. That you tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet of Islam, announced to humanity that when they abstain, refrain from blasphemy, kufr and shirk and so forth, they embrace Islam, يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Their sins of the past, which they committed against Almighty Allah, that is forgiven and is expunged from them for the book of deeds. Then we find in the Quran in chapter, so Surah Luqman, chapter 31 and verse number 15. And what does Almighty Allah say? You are a Muslim, O son, O daughter, brother, sister, and your parents, both of them, or one of them is a non-Muslim. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. So you mingle with them, associate with them with respect and honor. You must not look down upon them. You must cry to Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, grant them Iman, Islam. Your name must be a good name. Muhammad, you chose the best name. Your lineage will always go to your father. So whether he's Peterson, whether he's Butalezi, whether he's the Clerk, whether he's Rajbansi, whatever it is, you must remember Mandela, Mandla, whatever it is. So to yours will remain Pretorius all the time. You see Sahaba, Ikrima. Ikrima is Sahabi. And his father, Abu Jahl, the enemy of Islam and the Muslims. So in Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that tomorrow, إِنَّكُمْ تُدْعَوْنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَسْمَائِكُمْ وَأَسْمَائِ آبَائِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا أَسْمَائَكُمْ. The hadith in Mishkat and Abu Dawood, that you will be called by your name and by your father's name. Hence, you must choose good names. So you can't change that, my brother. And remember that you must be happy that you got that surname. That inshallah you become an ambassador of Islam and you become the means for your parents to embrace Islam. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.